Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom. And Shabbat Shalom to all those who are watching with us today. I have a message today called, Are You Holding Back the Kingdom of Yahweh? Are you holding back the Kingdom of Yahweh? And I want to start in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. And again, this is called the Great Commission that is given not only to the 12 apostles or not only to elders, but is given to all believers throughout all time, but particularly as we're going to see in the end time, this is should be the main focus of our life. Matthew 28 and verse 18, and coming up, Yeshua talked with them, his disciples, saying, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me, right? He has all authority. Then having gone, disciple all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I commanded you, and behold, I am with you until the completion of the age. Amen. So, this is the Great Commission. And in the last few years, we've had some setbacks, right? We've had things like COVID that kept people in house for, 2 to 3 years, and different things going on. But I think now, what's going on in the world, we might have a tiny bit more time. Only Yahweh knows the time, but there could be a little bit more time that we have because our job isn't finished yet, but we don't know. We don't know if that means a few months or a year or two or whatever of this open door that Yahweh is going to give us. So we have to make sure, and I asked our elders, and I wrote it in brethren letters, but I ask you to make this new year, this coming year now, the greatest year of preaching the good news and bearing fruit in your spiritual life so far, to join me with it, and we are all making that commitment. So Matthew 24:14, because which one of the things that has to happen before the end will come? And this good news of the kingdom will be published in all the earth for a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And I believe the Hebraic Roots Bible is a part of this prophecy, because we've had now, I can't tell you how many million, we had probably close to 100 million Bibles maybe downloaded altogether, but it is in the tens of millions of Bibles. It was 50 million a while back, and it could be close to 100 million at this point. But I believe that this is part of this. If we go to Revelation 14 and verse 6, we'll see that a big part in the end time, even with cherubs, is preaching the good news. Revelation 14, and I'm going to read verse 6 through 12. It says, and I saw another cherub flying in mid-heaven with blood, having the everlasting good news to proclaim to those dwelling in the earth, even every nation and tribe and language and people, saying in a great voice, fear Elohim and give to him because the hour of his judgment has come, and give glory to him because the hour of his judgment has come. Also worship him who has made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the springs of water. And another cherub followed, saying, the great city Babylon has fallen. That's one of the things that will be coming shortly in world events as we get closer to the end. Has fallen because of the wine of the anger of her fornication. She made all nations to drink. And a third cherub followed them, saying in a great voice, if anyone worships the beast in its image and receives a mark on his forehead or in his hand, he also shall drink of the wine of the anger of Yahweh, having been mixed, undiluted in the cup of his wrath. So it means his full wrath they're going to get. And he will be tormented by fire and brimstone before the holy cherubs and before the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. And those worshiping the beast in its image have no rest night or day, even if anyone receives the mark of its name. Here is the patience of the sanctified ones. Here are the ones keeping the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yeshua. So this is all end time. So this is the end time message, right? There's two things in the end time. One is preaching this good news message to the world as a last witness. And the second thing is the preparation of the bride. Revelation 14, same chapter. Let's go and read the first five verses. And I saw and behold the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. And with him were 144,000 with the name of his Father having been written on their foreheads. How important is that? Very important. And I heard a sound out of heaven as the sound of many waters and as the sound of great thunder. Also I heard the sound of harpers harping on their harps. And they sing as a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one was able to learn the song except 144,000, those having been redeemed from the earth, right? The first of the first fruits. These are the ones who had not become defiled, for they are pure. These are the ones following the Lamb wherever he may go. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits to Yahweh and the Lamb. And no decoy was found in their mouth, for they are unmarked before the throne of Yahweh, right? They are not part of this world's end time system of commercial Babylon that is run by Satan the devil, right? They are separated from that. They're out of that. And this is what Yahweh is working on, like I said. Bringing this good news message, as we see, it's not something from 2,000 years ago, but it's most important right now in the times we're living. And the second thing is preparation of the bride to prepare for his return. Revelation 3, let's go back to Revelation 3, and we'll see. I've done messages on this, but look at the Philadelphia congregation, right? The congregation of brotherly love. And what is Yahweh given to them in the time we're living in right now? Verse 7 and 8. And to the messenger of the congregation of Philadelphia write, these things says the Holy One, the set apart one, the true one, the one having the key of David, the one opening and no one shuts and shuts and no one's open. Look what he says. I know your works. Behold, I've given a door being opened before you, and no one is able to shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. And wow, that's why you look at a tiny little congregation like we have, right? We don't have $1 million headquarters. We don't have any paid employees. You know, we don't have anything like that. And yet, we've been able to bring, like I said, somewhere around 70, 80, maybe 100 million downloads of Bibles, not even including the tens of millions of sermons and books and all the other things. We have hundreds of elders and deacons all over the world witnessing this good news. It's growing everywhere. And Yahweh, only by him putting this open door before us. But it's not just an open door for me or elders. It's an open door for every single believer in the end time, every single Philadelphia believer anyway. And it's the point of what Yahweh is doing in the end time. That is what his work is. Is it our work, as we're going to see here? So drop down to verse 10. He says, because you kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you out of the hour of trial, which is coming upon the world in order to try those dwelling on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold what you have that no one take your crown. The one overcoming, I will make him a pillar, right? A pillar is what holds up buildings. Like we see in Israel and the Middle East, we see thousands of ancient buildings that the pillars are still standing there. The one overcoming, I will make him a pillar in the sanctuary of my Elohim. And he will not go out anymore. And I will write the name of my Elohim on him. And the name of the city of my Elohim, the new Jerusalem, which comes out of heaven from my Elohim and my new name. The one who has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. So this is my message today, or to those who have ears to hear. Because you know what? In the end time, there's a lot more people who don't have ears to hear than have ears to hear. But who has ears to hear? The Philadelphia believers. They're the ones that have the ears to hear. So if you're hearing this and you're getting the message, praise Yahweh for that. So the true workers are given the open door. They must use it, because you know what? That door is not going to stay open forever. That door has been open, but that door is going to, as a matter of fact, that door is probably half closing as I'm speaking. And we have to make sure we are using that open door, because as we saw with COVID, and this is why I said this over and over and over since COVID came a few years ago, how that was such a blessing to me, because it showed me, boom, how quick things can change. And when that did, in my mind, I thought, well, why didn't I do more when I had the chance? And now we have this small window and we have the chance. And are you doing any more? Or are you just right back to your old life before COVID and right back to doing very little for the kingdom of Yahweh and just puttering and wasting time, right? So these are the two end time commissions that Yahweh is waiting for before the kingdom can come, right? Preaching the good news and preparing the bride. And like I said, that door will not stay open forever. Amos 8, verse 11 and 12. Book of Amos, verse 8, 11 and 12 says, behold, the days are coming, declares Adonai Yahweh, that I will send a famine into the land, not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather a famine for hearing the word of Yahweh, right? Because when this door closes, when the preaching stops, right, and the beast power takes over and the congregation is completely underground, you're not going to hear the truth anymore anyway. And through the internet and through social media, I mean, now you think you're hearing lies? Wow. At that point where there's absolutely no truth there whatsoever, we saw it, like I said, during COVID. What happened the first thing during COVID? Anybody that was preaching the truth, boom, they got taken off any kind of platforms of social media or the internet. So we know that that's coming. And then he says, look at verse 12. And they will stagger from sea to sea and from north even to east. They shall roam about to seek the word of Yahweh, and they will not find it. So praise Yahweh now for people and elders and congregations that are bringing the true word of Yahweh. Because there's a lot of heresy out there already, right? We're living in that time. We see it all over the place. But you still can get the truth. This truth is still out there. And praise Yahweh. I think, like I said, in the last even 1 year or so, man, we have had so many new people contacting us from all over the world. And like I said, even in Babylon, you know, USA, a lot of new people that are coming along and that are coming to truth. Praise Yahweh for that. So here it will. And like I said, this is going to come without warning, just like COVID did. So we can't wait. You need to take advantage of this. That's why I say, you know, join me this year now, this new year. Join me in making this the greatest spiritual year of bearing fruit that you ever did. Let's go to Mark 4 in verse 23, because we're going to see this now. We're going to see that these are the two things that happen. And then, like I said, when the time is over for that, it is going to change quickly. It's going to change very, very, very quickly. And when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes. So it's going to look like really good for a while, a short time. And when things are just looking good, boom, something is going to come from out of nowhere and change all that. So Mark 4, turn to Mark, verse 23. And it says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. We see that all over the Bible. And again, the ones that don't, I know there's a lot of people out there that they hear, but they don't have ears to hear. They don't do. So this is for those who have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, watch what you hear. With that measure that you measure, it will be measured to you, and it will increase to you those who hear. Watch what you hear, right? And every single time somebody contacts me about something ridiculous, like whether it's either flat earth or it's rotating Sabbath or something else on the calendar, it is never because they found it in the Bible. It's never that they said, you know, I looked at the description of the Bible, and can you explain it to me, Elder Don? It's always because they found some false website, some false teacher, all the time. So watch what you hear, right? Watch what you hear, watch what you see, because what you see and hear, it's 10 times harder to get rid of than to put it in. So this is the warning for those who have ears to hear. Watch what you hear. Stay away from the internet. Stay away from the heresy. For whoever may have, more will be given to him. And the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken, right? He's talking about the Ruach. He's talking about if you have gifts, and all of us do, and if you don't know what your gift is, then why haven't you ever come to the Bible school? Because everyone at the Bible school knows what their gift is. They might not have known the day they come, but they know the day they leave, right? You have a spiritual gift. Yahweh is not barren. You might have two or three or four of them. And you are supposed to be using those gifts to bear fruit for his kingdom. And if you're not, right here, very clearly, and we're going to see later in Luke, he will take it away from you, all right? It's not about just killing time. It's about using this tiny bit of time we have called life and using it for Yahweh's glory and bearing fruit for his kingdom, because life is a test. And this is, you're either passing the test or failing the test by it. He said, so is the kingdom of Yahweh. As if a man should cast seed on the earth, and we know from the parable, what is the seed? The seed is the word of Yahweh. Look at verse 14. The sower sows the word, right? So the seed is the word of Yahweh. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should sprout and lengthen of itself, as he does not know. Like now, it's the winter in a lot of places around the world. It's freezing and snow and all the other things. Praise Yahweh, where we are in the Middle East, you can still plant. And It's in the winter. Some of the best planting comes in the winter. We have our garden out there, and that's what happens. Once you do all that hard work, and once you plow, and once you set it, and once you seed, and once you fertilize, and once you do all that, then you just let it happen. You know, all the hard work's done, and you just wait till it comes up, and then you got your... So he says, and you should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should sprout and lengthen of itself, as he does not know, right? It just happens. For of itself, the earth bears fruit, first greenery, right? That's your baptism. So he's comparing us. We are this fruit. So he's saying, first there's greenery, and that's like our baptism, right? When we're just green, that's like he says, a new person is a greenhorn, right? He's green. He's just starting. Then an ear, right? An ear is as we're growing in the ruach, we're growing in the spirit, and then the fruit is coming, but it's just an ear. It's not full yet. And then he says, and then full grain in the ear, right? That's the latter rain. That's the time we're living in now. And I believe this started around 215, that we are living in that latter rain. And I see it. I see the spirit of Yahweh growing in his people. I see the communities. I see so many things happening in the last decade that hadn't happened before, maybe since the first century. So, like I said, the greenery is your baptism, the ear is as you're growing, and then now we're into the grain, the full ear. And what happens when that happens, when the latter rain comes, and when the fruit is ripe, verse 29, immediately he sends forth the sickle, for the harvest is come. So as soon as that happens, then Yahweh is going to bring his wrath. That's when the day of Yahweh is going to come. Go to Revelation 14 again. Go to Revelation 14. So this is what is happening, right? And look what it says. Verse 15. Another cherub went forth out of the sanctuary, crying in a great voice to the one sitting on the cloud, "Send your sickle and reap, because your hour to reap came, because the harvest of the earth was dried." And the one sitting on the cloud thrust his sickle into the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another cherub went forth out of the sanctuary in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another cherub went forth from the altar, having authority over the fire. And he spoke with a great cry to the ones having the sharp sickle, saying, "Send your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, because the grapes are ripened." And the cherub thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine to the earth and threw into the winepress of the great anger of Yahweh. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood went out of the winepress as far as the bridles of horses from 1,600 furlongs. And that's about 180 miles by 4.5 feet. That's pretty big. That's almost like throughout all of Israel, except for maybe the desert in the south, 4.5 feet high. That's a lot of blood. But blood does purify. You know, this is going to happen. But what is Yahweh waiting for? He's waiting for us. He's waiting for the last witness to happen. That is going to happen one way or the other. And he's waiting for us to mature. And if you don't, you know what's going to happen? You are going to run out of time. If you're just wasting time now and you're not bearing the fruit. Because Yahweh's not going to wait forever. And that's why the end time says only the Father knows. Because he's the one who's going to say when that time is fulfilled. And you know what? There are going to be people that are on the wrong side of this, that are Laodiceans, that are not going to make it. And there's a lot of people that are going to be like that. So are you just wasting time every day? Or are you preparing for what Yahweh has for you? Revelation 19, 7 through 9. Revelation 19, 7 through 9. Because this is what happens in the end time. Are you doing this right now? "Let us rejoice and let us exalt, and we will give glory to him, because the marriage of the Lamb came, and his wife prepared herself. And it was given to her that she might be clothed in fine linen, pure and bright. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said to me, 'Write, blessed are the ones having been called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said, 'These words of Yahweh are true.'" So the bride prepared herself. She got every spot and wrinkle out of her garment. She prepared. Are you doing that? Are you doing that every day of your life? Are you preparing? Are you bearing fruit? Or are you just killing time? Because if you are, if you're killing time, like I said, time is going to end. Matthew 24 and verse 33. Matthew 24 and verse 33. It says, "And also you, when you see all these things," right? All the things he's talking about, the wars, the rumors of wars, the earthquakes, the famine, all the things we're seeing. The great deception. "When you see all these things, know it is near, even at the doors. So we don't have 100 years or 50 years or even 30 years. We don't have that. We are this thing is at the doors, and we're talking about months or a few years. That's what we're talking about. Just small amount of years, you know, probably under 10 years. Truly, I say to you, in no way will this generation pass away until all these things have occurred, right? So it's all going to happen in one generation. We're already 76 years into that generation. The heaven and the earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But as for that day and that hour, no one knows, neither the cherubs of heaven except my Father only. Like I said, the Father is the one that makes that decision. And what is he waiting for? He's only waiting for us. And that's why I say, are you holding back the kingdom of Yahweh? He doesn't want any to perish, but it's our choice. We have free will. And we are either out there every day growing in the fruits of the Spirit that Yahweh has given us, right? Growing in the faith and growing in the different gifts of the Spirit, or we're wasting time. Are we bearing fruit for his kingdom or aren't we, right? So only the Father knows, and he will decide when enough time of the bride. But there is a time coming, Revelation 10 and verse 5. Revelation 10 and verse 5 says, and the cherub whom I was standing on the sea and on the land lifted his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there shall be no longer reckoning of time. But in the days of the voice of the seventh cherub, whenever he is about to trumpet, was even ended the mystery of Elohim, as he proclaimed to his servants the prophets. So there is a time where time is going to run out. And we are getting close to that time. Because like I said, we're not in the beginning of the end time. We're in the end of the end time. We're 76 years into it. You know, we're coming on between the years 28 and 30, 2,000 years from Yeshua's ministry. We're getting ready to go into that seventh millennium. And the time is now. The time is now. Yahweh has given us. What did he say? I'll show you all these signs that you'll know. When you see these signs, know it's at the door. And we're seeing those signs. Daniel 12:4, you know, just the knowledge in the end time, the AI and all that stuff. We are at a time where it can't go on much longer. So it doesn't matter whether that means 10 or 12 years or it means 2 or 3 years. It really doesn't make a difference, because every day we have, we need, and every year we have, we need, because we have to prepare. And at this point, you know, the first thing we go over at the Bible school is, what is your legacy? How much fruit have you borne? You know, if Yeshua returned today, what is your reward going to be? What have you been doing, you know, your whole spiritual life as a believer? Are you bearing fruit, and are you changing? Are you preparing for your job in the kingdom? So, like I said, to the faithless, what they see in Satan's system of commercial Babylon, that's their reality. So to the Laodicean, I could talk to him blue in the face, and only when something like COVID comes, or war comes, or Israel gets attacked, or something like that, and it's not out of faith, it's out of fear, that they might wake up for about 2 minutes, but they still don't do nothing. And that is not faith, that is fear. The kingdom to them is only a hope, it's not a reality. Because if the kingdom was a reality to you, you would be out there and you would be working for it every day of your life. Because like I said, there's only two reasons. Like when we look at what Yahweh says and we look at what our reward is in every single thing you do now, you're not going to be rewarded for a day or a month or a year. You'll be rewarded for eternity as a king and a priest in his kingdom. If you don't prepare and if you don't bear fruit knowing that and having his spirit opening up your eyes, then like I said, there's only two reasons. Either you're the stupidest person in the world, which I don't believe it, or you really don't believe it. Because if you believed it, you'd be doing it. You'd be doing it. And you wouldn't be wasting time. And you would be taking advantage of opportunities every time you get. Like I said, coming to a feast, you know, going to the Bible school if you could, whatever it is, doing the 27 lessons online, doing that every year. You'd be going out and bearing fruit. You'd have local ministry where you're living. You'd be going out and doing something, promoting Yahweh and promoting his kingdom the way it says we're supposed to. This is our commission. And being an ambassador of Yahweh, it's not a cute saying. It's a reality. What happens, you know, when a president comes in, like now there's a new president, President Trump, and he names ambassadors all over the world. You know, he named Ambassador Israel Mike Huckabee, who's a minister. What do you think those guys do? You think they just sit around just watching TV all day in their own life? No. They go and they work bringing the message of their country to wherever they're an ambassador to. And each of us are living somewhere, and wherever you're living, that means you're an ambassador to that country. That means that's why Yahweh made your skin color the way it is. That's why he gave you a passport for that. He gave you that because we are spirit beings from the inside out. And we only look the way we do. He made us that way so we can bear more fruit for his kingdom. So are you doing it? Are you doing it? Matthew 22. Matthew 22. I read this before, but here we are. We're living this now. This is not just a story in a book. This is our life. And answering, Yeshua again spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is compared to a man, a king who made a wedding feast for his son. And he sent his slaves to call those being invited to the wedding feast, and they did not desire to come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell the ones invited, behold, I have prepared my supper. My oxen and the fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding feast.'" Did you get your invitation? I got mine. They went out. Oh, they're beautiful invitations. I hope you got yours. I got mine. And the wedding supper is coming. The invitations are out. Are you preparing for it? Are you getting your garment ready? "But they sneered at it, and they went away, one to his field and one to his training." Right? They didn't listen. Drop down to verse 8. "Then he said to his slaves, 'Indeed, the wedding feast is ready, but those invited are not worthy. Then go into the exits of the highways and call to the wedding feast as many as you may find.'" Right? And that's what's happening now. Why? Why in this time now, right, is so many new people coming to faith? Why are we having full congregations of hundreds of people, even with pastors, coming to faith? You know why? Because there's been other people that were called 5 years ago, 10 years ago, maybe even 20 years ago or 30 years ago, that are not fulfilling their calling and are being replaced. "And going into the highways, those slaves gathered all, as many as they found, both evil and good. And the wedding feast was filled with reclining guests. And the king, coming in to look over those reclining, he saw a man not having been dressed in a wedding garment," right? He didn't make his garment ready. "And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here not having a wedding garment?' But he was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, 'Binding his hand and feet, take him away and throw him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" Right? Many are called, but few are chosen, and fewer are faithful. And if you're going to be one of those kings and priests ruling with Yeshua, you better get off your chair and start to work, because we're running out of time. We're running out of time. And you have to stop worrying about the cares of Babylon and start worrying about the kingdom of Yahweh. Because in the end, your priority is what you get done. And it's proving whether you're a Laodicean or you're a Philadelphian. It's proving it. Your work proves that, right? The same way faith without works is dead. And you don't have faith if you don't have a work to prove it. Because the work is the proof of the faith. And if you don't, you know what you are? You're a Laodicean. That's what you are then. So you got to get yourself together. Ephesians 5 in verse 25. Ephesians 5 says, "Husbands, love your wife, even as Messiah also loved the congregation and gave himself up on its behalf." Why? "That he might sanctify it," right? Set it apart, "cleansing it by the washing of water and by the word, that he might present it to himself as the glorious congregation, not having stain nor wrinkle." This is the way Yahweh's given us this time now, or any such thing, "but that it may be holy and without blemish." We have, like I said, a short period of time now to get the things together, just like the workers in the field. We're at that 11th hour. And praise Yahweh, you still have another day to prepare and get ready, but those days are running out. And like I said to the Laodicean, we've had 2,000 years since Yeshua, and they still, it doesn't matter how much time is there, the Laodicean is never going to do it. He may get inspired for a minute there, like I said, out of fear, and then he'll go right back to his own life. So I'm not here for the Laodicean. I'm here for the ones that have ears to hear and to say, you got to get out of commercial Babylon. You got to. Because if not, then even if you possibly could have been a Philadelphian, right, you are taking that risk of ending up a Laodicean. Because I can say this much, commercial Babylon, there won't be one person of commercial Babylon that will be in the kingdom of Yahweh. Either you're going to transform to the kingdom mindset, or you're going to perish in the lake of fire. But commercial Babylon is 100% contrary to the kingdom of Yahweh. So you have to decide, what is it? Are you getting out every spot and wrinkle? You know, and in an election, We just had an election not that long ago in the United States, right? And with Biden was with Kamala Harris, and they lost to President Trump. But that election happened on whatever it was, November 5, I think it was. And President Trump didn't take over immediately, right? He only took over January 20th. So why? Because you need a time period. You need a couple of months in between, because what did he do with that time period? He named his new Secretary of State, his new Secretary of Defense, his ambassadors to all these places. He had to get his team ready. So it's the same way with Yeshua. Yeshua has defeated Satan. Satan is a lame duck. That's Joe Biden became a lame duck. He became a lame duck when he first got in office, because he hasn't really done much. But the point is, once you lose and you just have a couple of months left in office, there's nothing you can do. You can't pass any laws, and that's why they call it a lame duck, because there's already a new administration coming in. You've already lost, and that's what happened. Let me just go here real quickly to Matthew 4 and verse 8 to 11, because I'm going to show you when Yeshua won the kingdom of Yahweh and Satan became a lame duck, like Joe Biden. Matthew 4 and verse 8. Matthew 4 and verse 8. And again, the devil takes Yeshua to a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, I will give all these things to you. If falling down, you will worship me. Then Yeshua said to him, go, Satan, go. For it has been written, you shall worship Yahweh your Elohim, and him only shall you serve. Then the accuser left him, and behold, cherubs came near and ministered to him, right? This is when he was defeated, he was done, and you got to say the same thing now. You have to say the same thing now, because there's a new administration, just like there's a new administration in Babylon, there's a new administration that's here. We are in that time period in between. We are preparing, Yeshua's preparing us to be ambassadors and to be leaders and kings and priests in that kingdom. And my question is, if that's the case, why are you still holding on to Satan's kingdom of commercial Babylon? If you believe this, do you believe that Yeshua won? Do you believe the words I just wrote here? Do you believe that Satan is a lame duck? Do you believe that his system of commercial Babylon is finished? And if you do, then why are you living in it? Why are you living in that? Why is every day of your life part of that system instead of part of the kingdom of Yahweh? Do you see your hypocrisy in this? You got to come out of it. You got to change. 1 John 2 and verse 15. It's got to be more than words. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Yahweh. And there will not be one person who doesn't believe in him that's going to be in his kingdom. And if you believe in him, then there's going to be an action, right? There's going to be an action. It's got to be more than what you can see with your eyes in commercial Babylon. It's got to be what you understand and know in your heart and mind what Yahweh has shown you. So 1 John 2 and verse 15. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Right? So what are you surfing on the internet? What are you doing with that iPhone? What are you doing on social media? What are you doing on Facebook? This is all stuff of the world. This is not of Yahweh. This is all stuff that Satan created for his end time system of the mark of the beast. All of it is part of that system. And if you really are part of that administration that's coming into the kingdom of Yahweh, what on earth are you doing on Facebook? Or what are you doing with the iPhone that's part of the mark of the beast coming system? What are you doing with it? Stop lying to yourself. You know, what is it? What administration are you part of? Are you an ambassador for the kingdom of Yahweh or not? And I'm saying this out of love. You know why? Because we're running out of time. And you got this short period now. And if you don't, I don't want it. Just like Yahweh doesn't want to see one person go to the lake of fire, neither do I. But it says when Yeshua returns, people that know him are going to come up with their hands open. He's going to say, I never knew you. And there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then it'll be too late. Time will be over. Wake up while you still have a chance. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Period. Period. Because all that's in the world, everything that's dealing with commercial Babylon, is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world is passing away in its lust. But the one doing the will of Elohim abides forever. Satan is a lame duck. The world is passing away. Yeshua has already won. It's just a few more days before he takes his office. He comes the Mount of Olives and takes office as King of Kings. And those that are going to be part of it are going to be with him and part of that administration. Little children, it is a last hour. A last hour, right? Not even last days or months or years. A last hour. As you heard that anti-Messiah is coming, even now many anti-Messiahs have risen up. From which you know it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they were of us, they would have remained with us, but they left that it might be revealed that they are not of us, right? They all are not of us. And that's why I said, many are called, few are chosen. And there's people that come and they go, right? And because it's too hard and they love the world too much and they don't want to leave the things of the world behind. And this is the biggest stakes ever because I've read it in Revelation 14. Whoever takes that mark will not be in the kingdom. And unfortunately, some of Yahweh's people are already doing it and they don't even know it. There's so much part of that system. And no matter what, they're not going to come out of that system. They don't know how to come out of it. And like I said, that's why Yahweh taught us communal living. For years and years and years, I wondered how on earth can we survive the end? And then Yahweh showed. And wow, look at our brethren in Ethiopia. Look at the example they set, the poorest people on earth with no money, with nothing. There's almost 900 people living there in that kibbutz, and they have everything that Yahweh's blessing them with. And it could be you. It could be you. All of us have to make this choice. And as you're going to see, it's a choice that's not made once. It's a choice you have to make every day of your life, because it's what you're getting done is what's going to happen there. Drop down the verse. In verse 20 says, and you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things, right? We have the rock. Drop down to verse 24. It says, then what you heard from the beginning, let it abide in you. Why did some fall away throughout the years and even in the first century? Because they stopped believing what they originally heard. They stopped believing the words of Yeshua. They stopped believing the words of the apostles. They stopped believing the words in the scripture. And it's the same today. That's why people fall away. Because there's so much part of the world, they stop believing in it. Then what you heard from the beginning, let it abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will both abide in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise which he promised us, everlasting life. This is, I mean, the stakes couldn't be higher. Your eternal life is on the line here. And it has everything to do on what you do today until the day that Yeshua returns. Yes, there is responsibility. And yes, faith without works is dead. And yes, we are accountable for the gifts that Yahweh gives us, to use those gifts to bear fruit for his kingdom, or when he comes, losing it altogether. That's what scripture says. It's very plain. You got to be part of the team. Why are some holding on to the present administration of Satan's commercial Babylon instead of preparing to rule with Yeshua from day one? Revelation 20, verse 4 through 6, right? To the Philadelphian, this is what their reward is. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them, and the souls of the ones having been beheaded because of the witness of Yeshua, that the true believers, they love not their life unto death. And because of the word of Yahweh, and who had not worshipped the beast nor its image, and they did not receive the mark on their forehead or in their hand, they didn't have that stupid iPhone, I can tell you that much. And they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one having part in the first resurrection. The second death has no authority over these, but they will be priests of Yahweh and his Messiah, and they'll reign with him 1,000 years and on forever, because death has no authority over those in the first resurrection. So this is what the stakes are. Are you part of the new administration, or are you part of the one that's going out? And you better make that choice, because the day is coming very soon. Are you preparing for this? If you're not, you won't be there. You know, like I said, this is why. This is why we've been hosting the feast for, 25 years in Israel and Jordan. This is why I've been doing the Bible school that takes me almost 6 months to prepare, because I know that each person that prepares and bears fruit, they're going to bear fruit for tens or hundreds or thousands even more. And that's what we need to do. I mean, it's so simple. You could be putting out flyers in diners. You could be doing something so simple as just printing flyers and putting them out in diners, or putting them on bulletin boards in Walmarts or whatever it is, You could be going out talking to people in the streets. You could be going out going to hospitals and encouraging somebody, holding the hand of a widow that has nobody there, you know, and is on death row and ready to die alone, and you could tell she's never alone. You know, there's something that you could be doing, or you could stay part of Satan's administration and just let time run out. 2 Corinthians 6, I went over this many times before, but I couldn't give a message like this without saying it, and I hope it doesn't just get hardened on the heart. 2 Corinthians 6, right? Do not be unequally yoked. Uniting in marriage is part of it, but it's unequally yoked with unbelievers. What partnership does righteousness have with lawlessness? What fellowship does light have with darkness? Who are your friends? Who are you hanging around with? You know? What agreement does the Messiah have with Satan? Right? What agreement is that? When commercial Babylon goes with Satan, so will every single part of that society. And nothing of that society, of that everything is through money and greed, and you have a handful of billionaires and now going on trillionaires that are ruling, that are Satanists, that are ruling the world and controlling the masses of people that will not be in the kingdom of Yahweh. What agreement does the Messiah have with Satan? Or what does a believer have with an unbeliever? And what harmony has the sanctuary of Elohim with idols, right? It is idolatry. And all those things are idols that are part of Satan's system. For you are the sanctuary of the living Elohim, as it said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people. Because of this, come out from among them and be separated, says Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you'll be sons and daughters to me, says Yahweh. Then having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of Yahweh. This should be done daily. It's not something you do once in your life, but this is something that you should be doing. It's with everything you do. It's everything you read, everything you watch, everything you say. It's your whole life. You're either moving and growing in that, getting every spot and wrinkle out, or getting more wrinkles in your garment every day that comes along. But we got to come out of the system. Matthew 6 and verse 24, very clear. Matthew 6 and verse 24. No one is able to serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will cleave to the one and despise the other. You're not able to serve Yahweh and wealth. And that's why, like I said, that's why for some it's just too hard. They hear the truth, they believe it, they know it, and yet the love of the system of commercial Babylon is just too much for them. And they can't give it up. And the love of self, that's really what it's all about, like it talks about in 2 Timothy 3. In the end, commercial Babylon is all about love of self. And that's why the Bible says it is the worst time the world has ever known, will know. We have never seen a time like this where people are so evil and so selfish, right, that they have no sympathy and compassion. And because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold. And, you know, not that long ago, or whatever it was, a month or a little longer than that, you know, a woman that was put on fire in the subway in New York City and burned alive, and nobody even came to help her. You know why? Probably because a few months before that, or whatever it was, a year before that, whatever it was, that a nutcase came in threatening to kill people, and an ex-soldier grabbed the person, and unfortunately the person died, and they were putting him up on murder charges because he saved those people. But this is the kind of world we live in, where people don't want to get involved and they don't want to help. And it's because that's what Satan's system brings, the total opposite of the kingdom of Yahweh. Total opposite. You can't serve two administrations. Where is your loyalty? And your priority is what you get done. Your priority is what you get done. How many hours a week are you Bible studying and praying, you know, and serving Yahweh, doing ministry? And how many hours are you at a worldly job just for mammon? So you could pay rent and buy food and that kind of thing. There's nothing wrong with that, you know? There's nothing wrong with that, as we're going to see. But maybe you're just, you know, barking up the wrong tree. Maybe you're just going the wrong avenue about getting there. Revelation 22 and verse 10 through 12. Revelation 22. This is a very interesting scripture, so I want you to listen very carefully on this. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is at hand. Right? This is, once Revelation is open, it all happens quickly. And we're in the book of Revelation, we're not in chapter 1. Things are going on, and we're coming toward that end time. The one acting unjustly will continue to act unjustly, and he who is filthy will continue to be filthy, right? The Laodicean will continue to be the Laodicean, but the and to the righteous, let him continue to do righteousness, hallelujah. And he who is kadosh, let him continue to be kadosh. Now watch this verse. And behold, I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me to give to each according to his work. According to his work. You know what's really interesting about that? Because we know a lot the word work and this and that, right? But this word is a little bit different. You know what this word means? This word means your occupation. The daily job, the thing that you do every day for your occupation. So think about that now. You fill in the blank. Fill in the blank if you're a computer programmer. Fill in the blank if you load trucks. You know, fill in the blank if you work in a diner. I don't know. Fill in the blank there. But he says, behold, I'm coming soon, and my reward is to give me to each according to and filling your job. And now think to yourself, is the job you're doing every day bearing any fruit for the kingdom? And if it's not, then where's your reward going to be? Because this word, and it's only a few times in Scripture, it's not the regular word for work. This word is what you're doing as your occupation. It's what you're doing every day. Your daily job, your occupation. What you are doing every day as your work. Is it for Yahweh or is it for commercial Babylon? You want to know something? My job is really no different than your job. I may have more authority, right? I may have, as an elder and a senior elder, I may have authority to baptize people and I may have authority to ordain somebody. But my job is no different than your job. We're all working for Yeshua to bear fruit for his kingdom. So where I might be an evangelist going around the world, encouraging and teaching the elders, you have the same job as I do in the sense of bearing fruit for the kingdom. So it may not be traveling around the world as an evangelist, but like I said, can you at least copy some flyers? Can you at least put things on bulletin boards? Can't you at least go to talk to people? Is there something you're doing for the kingdom? Because the reward, he says, behold, I'm coming soon, and my reward is to give according to your occupation, according to what you're doing every day of your life. And again, as I'm going to show you here, yes, there are 6 days to work, right? Titus 3 in verse 14. Titus 3 and verse 14. Titus 3 and verse 14. We're all called for the same job to the kingdom. We're a team. We work together. Why do you think I have the website up there? Why do you think I have the Matthew 24 program? You can go on the website and anybody, whether you're a congregation or you're one person, can do the Matthew 24 program. It was put together that way. So that you can do it in a local area alone or with a group. But you got to do it. You got to do it or you'll have no reward. Titus 3:14 says, And let our people be taught to do good works in times of emergency. That's the same word. That your occupation, that they may not be unfruitful. That your occupation should be an occupation of doing good work. It shouldn't just be killing time. Because if you are, then you're serving another master. If you're only doing it just for money to pay the rent. You know how much time of your life is going toward your work? And it could just as easily be for something good, right? There's doctors, there's nurses, there's physiotherapists. There's people that actually help people every day of their life. And you could just as easily be doing an occupation of bearing fruit than not bearing fruit. And it's your choice. Nobody's forcing you. Of course, unless we do have a lot of brethren in prison, right? So if you're in prison and you're forced, that could be something different. But for most people, it's not that way. You have a choice of what your occupation is going to be. And I read you the scripture that when Yeshua returns, your reward is based on your occupation. Now, what are you going to do from here? What are you going to do from here? Exodus 20, verse 8 and 9. Exodus 20, verse 8 and 9 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, right? But part of that commandment of keeping holy the seventh day is 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. So yes, we are commanded to work for 6 days, but your occupation can just as well be something that is helping people and bearing fruit than not. Right? They don't only pay money for jobs of commercial Babylon that are useless. They pay money, like I said, there's people out there that are doctors, and there's people out there that are therapists, and there's people out there that are counselors. There is so much that you can do to bear fruit. And the workman's worthy of his hire. Doesn't mean you can't be paid if you're doing something to help somebody. But you could just as easily be using that time to be producing fruit than not producing fruit. And that's a choice that you, each of us, have to make, right? Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 says, all that your hand finds to do, do it with all your strength. So everything you do, you should do with all your strength. For there is no work or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol. There where you go, right? In the grave. And we're all going to that grave. We're all going there. This blip of life that could be 30 years, like in Yeshua's case, 32 years, or it can be 60 or 70 years in somebody else's case. It goes fast, just as everyone is going to Sheol. Everybody's going to the grave. And in that grave, there is no planning. There is no work. There is no knowledge, right? So that's why whatever you find to do, do with all your might. And isn't it easier to do something with all your might that you believe in? Isn't it easier to do something for the kingdom of Yahweh if you do it that way? Now, granted, you know, at times in life, and it's happened to me more than once, you do have to take a job that maybe seem meaningless, right? I remember one time when we first left Babylon, and me and Petra were working, doing inventory. RGIS is the name of the company there, all over America, inventory. And we used to have to go to places and go to a Home Depot and count screws. And let me tell you something, there's not a whole lot that's really interesting about that. But even in a job like that, number one, we knew it was temporary. And number two, I gave all my effort and so did Petra. And you want to know something? Where we were a number, I was like, whatever I was, number 19532. I was only a number. And we had 1,000 people that would be coming there working. I'll never forget this. The guy who was the big boss, Ben Solomon, who I didn't know personally, didn't know him from nothing. But when we were working at a Home Depot, and a boss from that Home Depot came up to our boss because he wanted us to work for him full time. And when that boss called me over, Ben Solomon, my boss, and probably the first time I ever like talked to him, just to talk to him, and I thought I was in trouble, and he said, you know something? He said, the boss of this Home Depot came over and said, there's a husband and wife team that I never saw work like this before, and I want them to work for me. And he said, when he said that, I knew it was you and your wife. I'm thinking, I'm 19523. How would you know me? Because you know what he saw? He saw that we didn't complain. He saw that we worked hard. He saw we were on time. He saw that we did anything we needed to do, and we stood out. And we offered because there were people that couldn't get to work. And because we couldn't talk about Yeshua on the job. I mean, it's hard to do that when you're counting thousands of screws. But we offered, well, hey, you need someone? We'll go pick this person up. Because as we traveled back and forth, we shared with them, you know, our ministry in Israel and what we're doing and this and that. And that was still our first priority. But at the same time, we still witnessed during that job. So like I said, there are times you're going to do a job that may seem meaningless, but that doesn't mean you don't put your full effort in. It doesn't mean you're not on time. It doesn't mean that you're honest. All these things, and that it's temporary. But you shouldn't be doing a job like that for 10 or 15 years. You shouldn't just, because it's easy, because you're getting a piece of paper at the end of the week with numbers on it that's paying your bills, that should not be a reason to waste your life. The incredible human potential, right? What Yahweh has given us, we are going to be kings and priests for Him forever, and we have to prepare. And again, sometimes it is with a job that may not be so meaningful, but we learn from those jobs too. But they should also be temporary. Those jobs should be temporary. Our life depends on bearing fruit, bringing the good news, making disciples of all nations. Are we living this daily? That is our occupation. Like I said, that is what Yeshua is going to reward us for. What is your occupation? What do you do every single day as your job? That's where your reward is going to be based on. Matthew 24, verse 37. Matthew 24, verse 37. We start ending up here. The description had always puzzled me until recently. Matthew 24, verse 37. And it says, but as in the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as they were in the days of Noah before the flood, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah went into the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. At that time, two will be in the field. One is taken, one is left. Two grinding at the mill. One is taken, one is left, right? One is taken out of the kingdom, one is left in the kingdom. Be alert then, for you do not know in what hour your master comes. But know this, that if the housemaster had known in which watch the thief comes, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be dug through. Because of this, you also be ready, for in an hour you think not, the Son of Man comes. And I was thinking, how could that be? I'm always thinking he's coming. How could he come in an hour? Until I realized recently, this is talking to the Laodicean, not the Philadelphian. Because the Philadelphian is always prepared. The Philadelphian is always ready. The Philadelphian is, every day, month, year that goes by, is one time closer to his kingdom. It's the Laodicean that he's talking about. The Laodicean, it's going to come at a time when he's not ready, because the Laodicean never gets ready. And look, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom my master set over his household to give to them the food in season? Blessed is that servant who his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all he owns. But if that wicked slave says in his heart, my master delays to come, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the ones drinking, the master of that slave will come in a day he does not expect, and in an hour which he does not know, and he will cut him in two, and will appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, like I said. So it's not to the Philadelphian that's going to come at a time he doesn't expect. You know why? Because it says it right in your Bible. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5, right? Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. So to the true believers, to the faithful ones, Yeshua is not going to come at a time you don't expect him. Because we're always expecting him. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need to write to you, right? To the true brethren out there, to the true ones that are working, to the true ones that are bearing fruit, I don't need to tell you this stuff because you're doing it every day of your life. It's your occupation. For you yourself know accurately that the day of Yahweh comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, and it's really interesting, you know, during this these months where President Trump was getting ready to take over, and I heard a lot of interviews with some of the people that he's going to have in national security, and they're all saying the same thing, that during this new era now, President Trump, we are going to have the greatest era of peace and security that America has ever seen. And it's like, ouch, ouch. You know, you have to use those words. But that's what the words they're using. And it could come back and bite them. Because like I've said before in messages and letters, I do believe that President Trump is like Nebuchadnezzar. Same kind of pride, the same kind of thing. And I think, unfortunately, this parallel is not going to turn out that good in the end for him or for USA Babylon. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them like the travail to the woman with child, and not at all shall escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that they should overtake you as a thief, right? The brethren is not going to overtake them, not the true ones, maybe the Laodicean. You are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then we should not sleep as the rest also do, but we should watch and be sober. For those sleeping sleep by night, and those having been drunk are drunk by night. But let us who are children of the day be alert, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, as a helmet put on the hope of salvation. Because Yahweh has not appointed us to wrath, right? His wrath, the day of Yahweh. But to the obtaining of salvation through our Master Yeshua Messiah. He dying on our behalf, so that whether you are awake or we sleep, you know, we die, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another as you indeed do. And that's what I'm here today. I pray this message, although it's a message to light a fire underneath you, I pray it's a message of encouragement that you see, wow, what Yahweh has for us. What Yahweh is giving for us. And the last scripture is Luke 19. I'm going to give a message like this without going into Luke 19. Because yes, we will be rewarded according to our occupation. Luke 19, 12 and 13, he says, then he said, a certain well-born man went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and to return. He's talking about himself, Yeshua. And calling 10 of his slaves, yeah, interesting, the lost tribes, he gave to them 10 minas and said to them, trade and work. Trade and keep busy until I come, right? Trade and work. Work. Use your assets. And it's kind of interesting because in the communities now, in the end time, where we can't be part of that mark of the beast system, we're not going to be able to buy and sell. What are we going to have to do? We're going to have to trade. We're going to have to barter. And a lot of our communities are already learning that. And this is what they're doing. He says, trade and work until he comes. Drop down to verse 15. And it happened when he returned, right? This is when Yeshua is returning now, a very short distance in the future. Having received the kingdom, he even said for those servants to be called for him, those to whom he gave the silver, that he might know how each would have gained by their working, by their trading. And the first came saying, Master, your mina has gained 10 minas, right? He used the spiritual gifts that Yahweh gave him and bore a lot of fruit. 10 times. And he said, well done, good slave, because you were faithful in the least thing, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, Master, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to this one also, you be over 5 cities, right? The reward was according to their fruit. And another came saying, Master, behold your mina which I've stored in the faith cloth, the Laodicean, the one that's always going to do it tomorrow, but tomorrow never comes. For I feared you because you're a harsh man, taking what you did not lay down and reaping what you did not sow. But he said to me, I will judge you out of your own mouth, wicked slave. You knew that I'm a harsh man, taking what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow. And why did you not give my silver at the bank table? And coming, I might have exacted it with interest, right? Like I said, there's people out there that maybe they don't have a lot of cash, but they have a house they can sell, and they could be getting 4% or 5% interest on that money that could be used to pay their bills, and they could be doing ministry full time, right? And that's what we say. Why didn't you at least do the least? At least, and tithing. There's people that don't even tithe, brethren. Sadly, unbelievable. I hope there's not a lot, but I know there's some. And to those standing by, he said, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. And they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas, right? He's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. The ones who have a gift or two and are not using it, the little they have will be taken away. For I say to everyone who has, it will be given. And from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Exactly what I read in Mark 4 and verse 25 in the beginning of this. So we see it here, that it means to do business. That's what he's talking about. To put to use your assets. What is your occupation? Is it for Yahweh or is it for commercial Babylon? Wow. There is a new administration coming. The kingdom of Yahweh is knocking at the door. Satan is a lame duck. He's already lost. Are you preparing for your position in that kingdom? The wedding invitation have been sent. I hope you got yours. Are you preparing your garment? Are you getting out every spot and wrinkle and bearing fruit for the kingdom? Yahweh is only waiting for the bride to get ready. Read it again later in Matthew 4, right? Read those scriptures I went over, verse 23 through 29, right? Yahweh is only waiting now to give us the time to prepare so that we don't miss out on this kingdom. Yahweh is only waiting for the bride to get ready and to preach the last witness of the good news and to prepare ourselves. Are you holding back the kingdom of Yahweh, or will you simply be left behind? Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.